So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 11, and we'll read, there is two verses, doesn't have the purport, and on the 7th, 8th, and I will chant the also verse 9. The gopis would say, "If you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat." By saying these words, by clapping their hands, all the gopis encourage Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. Text 8. Sometimes Mother Yasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, "Bring this article or bring that article." Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoe, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there, just to invite the pleasure of his relatives. He would strike his body by his arm with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. Text 9. Translation. The pure devotees throughout the world who would understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajavasis by his childhood activities. Purport. That Krishna performed the childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajbhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulences. Both the eternal devotees who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Milana Unditam Jainam Tasme Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Gurus Sri Yuta Padakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakha Nitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I would like to ask the blessing of the devotees for speaking something about Krishna, especially His Holiness Mr. Krishna Maharaj and all the senior devotees. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the both are prepared by question and answers. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is questioning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna himself answers all his questions. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also the question by King Parichit and answer by Sukadev Goswami. So, in the 9th chapter, Sukadev Goswami described the moon and sun dynasty and as well the Yadu dynasty. He briefly speak about Krishna, but Sukadev Goswami, he didn't, you know, give the details as he gave in the 10th canto. So Maharaj Parichit, he is asking further details. He was not so satisfied what he heard about Krishna so much. He wants to hear further more. So in 10th canto, beginning of the 10th canto, Maharaj Parichit is asking so many questions to Sukadev Goswami. He asks the question, you know, how the, you know, Lord Shiv Baladev, the son of Rohini, also the son of Devaki. That's the first question. Then again he's asking, why did Krishna transfer himself from Mathura to Vrindavan? How did he live there with his family members? What did Krishna do in Mathura and Vrindavan? Why did he kill his maternal uncle Kansa? Although he knows that, you know, Kansa was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to his mischievous behavior and so many other, you know, impious activities, but still he wants to know in details. So he is asking that question. And also he asked the question, how many years Krishna lived in Dwarka? And how many queens he had, all the details. Please tell me all the details. And also, don't keep yourself, you know, limited to my questions. You can also speak whatever is suitable for me. It's not, don't keep yourself limited to my questions. Please speak further if you think it is suitable for my consciousness. So this is the question of the beginning of the 10th canto. I wanted to give a little summary before starting. So, there is two persons, of course others are there, Parichit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. One person, he is about to leave his body in 7 days' time. He knows death is coming to everyone, of course. We know death will one day come. But it is the difference between Parichit Maharaj and us. Parichit Maharaj knows he is going to die in 7 days. But we don't know. It can happen any time, any moment. So here is his question, questioning Sukadev Goswami to hear about the activities of Lord Krishna. And if, you know, when we are talking about Parichit Maharaj, each, any part of the life we talk, it's about, we have to discuss about Krishna. Any part. If we are talking about his birth, we have to speak about Krishna. Suta Goswami says, Parichita atha rajarse janma karma bilapanam samstamscha panduputranam bakche Krishna kathodayam. So, when we speak about Parikshit Maharaj, if we speak about his beginning, even before the birth, he was protected by Krishna. Sudarsana, that this enter into the womb of Uttara and saves Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahmastra. We know the Brahmastra, how it comes from Ashwatthama. He didn't know how to bring it back. So he, out of fear, by seeing all the Pandavas following behind him, he sent the Brahmastra to kill the Pandavas. So he didn't know how to bring that back. Although by seeing the Brahmastra, Arjuna inquires, "My dear Lord, what's happening? The, you know, fire, the blazing fire looks like going to just, you know, burn into ashes to the whole universe. What is this? Could you kindly tell me?" And Krishna says, "This is the Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama. So you have no other choice," telling Arjuna that you have to use your Brahmastra to counteract. So when Arjuna used the Brahmastra, then it becomes very dangerous situation. So again, he takes back the Brahmastra, but Ashwatthama couldn't take it back. So he redirects to kill. If he can't kill the Pandavas, then he can kill the womb, the baby who is in the womb of Uttara, so which is Parikshit. But Krishna says that, you know, even you try to kill, I can save. Brahmastra is no useful to Krishna. When Krishna wants to save someone, Brahmastra is useless. So he sent his disc to the womb of Uttara to save Maharaj Parikshit. So if we are talking about the beginning of Parikshit Maharaj, we have to talk about Krishna. Talk about middle part of his life. After Yudhishthira Maharaj left the Bharatvarsha, after hearing Krishna has left his body. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, after winning the battlefield, he lived for 35 years and take care of his kingly duty. After hearing from Krishna departed this world, then he desired to leave also his kingdom. Then he gave up all the responsibility to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj took everything, all the responsibility, and he started preaching all over the Bharatvarsha. And he built so many temples, preaching and temples, so many temples he has built, along with Vajranava, the great grandson of Lord Krishna. So it is also the middle part of his life. And when we are talking about death of Parikshit Maharaj, of course we have to talk about Krishna. He is all eager to hear from Sukadeva Goswami that what I have to do, just I'm going to leave my body in 7 days' time. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking all these questions and Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about Krishna. So when we are talking about death, of course we have to again explain about Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, what we have to talk about him also. When we speak about him, we have to speak about Krishna. He, for 16 years, he didn't come out from the mother's womb. He thought that this material world is very much contaminated and he will be polluted by the energy of the material world. So he lived there 16 years, the womb of mother. And finally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead told him that, "No, you don't have to worry about that part. You come out, you will not be contaminated by the material energy or Maya." So then he comes out. In the past, the last text before I recited the verses, Nanda Maharaj is untying the knots from the wooden grinding motor from Krishna's belly. And here, Krishna, how he becomes the servant of all his devotees. I was thinking to tell about a story about Bhishma Dev. Once when he heard that Krishna has vowed that he will not use any weapon in the Kurukshetra battlefield. Bhishma Dev said that, okay, he promised in his mind, I will make the Lord to use the weapon. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is truth in his words, he's always truthful. But for his devotees, he can change that truthfulness and he will just act according to their desire. So, Bhishma Dev, here in the battlefield, Krishna is the chariot driver and there is a big fight between Bhishma Dev and Arjuna. Arjuna couldn't stop Bhishma Dev's arrows. The arrows are piercing sometime Arjuna as well as sometime to Krishna. So Bhishma really made the devastation on that day. By seeing his determination that he is going to break the Lord's promise, he of course realized he is antaryami. He understands why he is doing this. Although Bhishma Dev is a really powerful warrior, he could fight with Parashuram, his own master Parashuram. Lord Parashuram gave him all the knowledge of fight, how to fight in the battlefield. And at one point in Mahabharata, it says that, you know, they both had a big fight over one girl, maybe you know Ambalika. Bhishma Dev had a vow that he will never ever get married until he's, you know, leaving his body. He will stay as a brahmachari. And somehow, I'm not going to go to the details. It's a big story. If we go, then all will speak about that only. So Lord Parashuram said that you have to get married. You bring these girls to get married your brother, but you know your brothers are not going to get married. You have to get married. She only wants you. So Bhishma Dev said that, my dear Lord, you know that I have vowed that I am not going to get married. This is my vow. So how can I break? No, you must break. You have to break the promise. Otherwise, it won't be so good for you. Bhishma Dev has no other choice. He has to say again no. He said, my dear Lord, my vows are always, you know, that I never break. So Lord Parashuram says that if you don't break your vow and don't get married, you have to fight with me. You know Lord Parashuram, how powerful he is. He has conquered the whole world so many times, 21 times. And not only that, he has killed many demons, many kshatriyas, all the kshatriya orders. They have to bow before him, otherwise they will get killed. He has killed Kartavir Arjuna, the mighty 1,000 arms he had. Very powerful demon king who has killed his father, Lord Parashuram's father. So he has killed him. He has killed many kshatriyas. And he has to fight with, he is saying that you have to fight with me. And there was a big battle. And Lord Parashuram, he didn't have any chariot. He didn't have any, you know, so many weapons, but he has to fight. And no one is winning and no one is losing in this battlefield. So that much power both they have. Before the fight, of course, Bhishma Dev is asking the blessing. But my dear master, please give me the blessing that I will fight like a warrior. And Bhishma Dev is saying that, Lord Parashuram is saying that, you know, go fight. You come and you ask me the permission. Now you go fight. Fight that the whole universe will remember you, that you are my disciple. So that much powerful he was. So he is trying to break the promise of Krishna, and Krishna understood, and Arjuna, there was no way come close to even protecting himself and protecting any other, you know, people. Then Krishna takes his dish and goes in front of Bhishma Dev. He says, Arjuna, if you can't fight, then I will fight. I will kill Bhishma. Here is Bhishma, so pleased by seeing the Lord holding the dish. He is so happy one way that he can break the promise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is truthful in his words. Satya bratam satya param tri satya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always truthful. The demigods, when the Lord takes, he comes out of the womb of Devaki, all the demigods, they are praying, including Brahma. And they are, you know, the first sloka of this very beautiful sloka. Satya bratam satya param tri satya. Satyasya yoni nihitam sa satya. Satyasya satya rita satya netre. Satyatmakam tvam saranam prapanna. My dear Lord, we pay our humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. You are the truth. You have vowed, when we prayed that we have the difficulties with the demons, you vowed that you are going to born as the son of Devaki. Now you are appeared here. So you are truthful. Satya bratam satya param tri satya. Tri satya. You are truthful in the three worlds, the three planetary systems. So you are satya. All over the places you are satya. And here the truthfulness is broken his promise. And here again, in front of the gopis, whatever they have desired, whatever they have ordered, the Lord is listening to them like a puppet, the doll, wooden doll, how they, you know, played by the person who is having the control. So, I would like to bring a little bit discussion about discussion between the nine Yogendras and King Nimi. Now, the Nava Yogendras are the nine sons of Rishabhadev. Lord Rishabhadev had 100 sons. Out of that, these are the nine who become the sannyasis, who can travel to all the planets. And the oldest son was King Bharat, who took over who became the king of the Bharat Varsha. Another nine sons, they become the king under King Bharat, taking all the nine deepas. The 81 sons, they become the Karmakandi Brahmins. So the nine Yogendras, they were very powerful. They were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can travel to the planets, preach about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, they have come to see King Nimi. Every time, King Nimi is a very pious king who is a devotee of Krishna. He is holding time to time the seminars of Krishna. So the nine Yogendras, they have visited. The nine Yogendras, anyone knows the name? Kavi Habir Antariksha Prabuddha Pipalayana Avihotra Atha Durmila Chamasa Karabhajana. So the nine Yogendras, Kavi, Habir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayana, Avihotra, Durmila, Chamasa, Karabhajana. So this nine Yogendras has come to Ayodhya to meet with King Nimi. And after seeing the exalted personified, the nine brothers, King Nimi is requesting he has asked so many questions. First question he is asking, what is Bhagavad Dharma? What is the Bhagavad Dharma? And first question answered by Kavi. So Kavi is saying, Kayan bacha manasendriyerba buddhyat mana ba nusita subhavat karoti yat yat sakalam parasmai narayanayati samarpayatat. So the devotees, or what is the dharma, Bhagavad Dharma? So Kavi is explaining that kayena bacha manasendriyerba. Kaya means the body. Whatever the service we do, whatever the activities we do, it has to be offered to Krishna. Bacha. Bacha means speaking. Either we speak about Krishna or his activities, or we chant. That has to offer to Krishna. We should not always think that I have to chant my 16 round for me, but it has to offer to Krishna. Any service we do, whatever service given to us, we do that for Krishna and offer to Krishna. Kayena bacha manasa indriyerba. Mana, the mind. In the mind we have to think about Krishna always, and also mind think about how to offer the obeisances to Krishna, and think always that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's mana. And indriya. All the indriyas, speaking, of course, about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, seeing Krishna's form, all the indriyas. And eating Krishna's prasadam, that is also indriyas, all the indriyas. Buddhyat manava prakrite svabhavat. And by intelligent, whatever we have the intelligent, we have to offer to Krishna service. So this is the Bhagavad Dharma. This is the way we have to worship Krishna or think about Krishna. Here it is, then, you know, the last question asked by King Nimi, he is asking that, please tell me, O Nava Yogendras, what is all the four yugas the Lord appear in his forms. So there is so many questions. I mean, in this question specially, answered by Karabhajan. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lachman Hanuman Gaur Nithai ki jai. So Karabhajan, he answers this question about the Yuga avatars. The Lord appear in different yugas. So I would like to explain the Kali Yuga avatar. Karabhajan is saying, Krishna Varna Tisa Krishnam Sanga Pangastra Parsadam Yajna Sankirtana Praye Yajantihi Sumayadasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent person, so in Kali Yuga, we don't have so many intelligent people. not many intelligent persons. So very rarely we found intelligent people. So the intelligent people, what they do? They do perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sing the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companion. Srila Jiva Goswami explains further in this verse. He is saying, Krishna Varna Tusa Krishnam. Krishna Varna. He says, Krishna Varna means Krishna, 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 Krishna. Who is all the time chanting Krishna is called Krishna Varna. Or he is again further explaining, the person who always thinks Krishna as he is the master called Krishna Varna. Or who given up everything and only describe or speak about Krishna is called Krishna Varna. Krishna Varna. Tisa Krishna. Tisa Krishna means his complexion. His complexion is a Krishna, not Krishna. He is not anymore the blackish color. He is now this time he is golden color. Tisa Krishna. Sanga Panga Stra Parsadam. He is coming with his Anga, all his whole potency. Coming with his weapons, coming with his associates to this world, and what he is doing? Yajna Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumaydasa. And what he is doing is doing the Sankirtan Yajna. And only some intelligent people, they would understand this very secret avatar of which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in the Kali Yuga. In Mahabharata, again Jiva Goswami explains, he proves with from the Mahabharata. In this Mahabharata again, the Dana Dharma Parva, Bhishma Dev is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj. I think everyone would know the Vishnu Sahasra Nam is in Dana Dharma Parva. And Jiva Goswami says, one sloka specially says that, you know, Suvarna Varna Hemanga Baranga Chandanagadi. Suvarna Varna Hemanga. The Lord taking the incarnation, not incarnation, he's coming with his full potency as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. And what he is going to look like? Suvarna Varna Hemanga. Suvarna means gold, golden. And he is going to look like golden color, Suvarna Varna Hemanga. And his limbs all are very beautiful, Hemanga. And what he is doing, going to do? Barangas Chandanagadi. And he smears the chandan, the sandalwood pulp, all over his body. And he looks very beautiful. And another sloka, again from the Vishnu Sahasranam, the Mahabharata, he explains that sannyasa krishama santi santo nishta santi parayana. Sannyasa krishama santo nishta santi parayana. So he is taking his latter stage of life, he is taking sannyas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead taking sannyas, and he is always peaceful, and he is spreading the holy name and doing the congregation of the holy name all over the places. Our eternal position, Narottam Das Thakur says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that we have come here to chant the holy name of the Lord. When we are in the womb of the mother, we are praying to the Lord that, dear Lord, please take me out from the womb. It's so dark, so dangerous, so fearful, so much worry, so much anxiety. Please take me out. If you will take me out, I will always pray, chant your holy name without any break. But as we came out by the contact of the material energy Maya, we have forgotten. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Bhajiva Bolya Ese Sansara Vitare Bhulya Roile Tume Avidyara Bhare. You came here to chant the holy name, but now you have forgotten that. So please wake up the sleeping souls and chant the holy name. So this is the message by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the holy name is the only way to come out, leave the material world and go home back to Godhead very easily in this Kali, age of Kali. It proves also when Bamandev appeared the sacrifice arena of Bali Maharaj. He is, sent Bali Maharaj to the Patala Loka. Then Lord Bamandev tells Sukracharya, "Dear Sukracharya, I came in the middle while you are doing the 100th Aswamedha Yajna for Bali Maharaj. Please complete the Yajna. So, you know, I'm not going to anymore disturb." Sukracharya is smiling and saying that, you know, by my dear Lord, the person who should supposed to be sitting in the Yajna is Bali Maharaj. You have sent him to the Sutala Loka. So you have sent him to the Sutala Loka. And how can I finish the Yajna? How can I perform the Yajna without the Karta? So Bamandevi is saying that, no, you can do the Sankalpa on the behalf of Bali Maharaj, still you can complete the Yajna. Sukracharya is saying that, my dear Lord, why should I worry about even the Yajna? You are here, and the personified of the Yajna Purusha is here. The whole purpose of doing the Yajna is to please you, but you are here. So you are pleased with my Karta, means Bali Maharaj. Why should I again perform the Yajna? But even you say that I have to perform the Yajna, if there is any Yajna, it is incomplete. By chanting your holy name, that will be completed. So here again, this happened Satya Yuga. This incident happened in Satya Yuga, and we are talking here. Sukracharya is proving that, you know, chanting the holy name of the Lord is the only way complete our yajna, complete our mission, and go home back to Godhead. I'm looking the time. It's 8:25, so I would like to take some questions, comments, if you don't mind.